Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 40, episode 3 of The Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah!
For July 18th, 2018, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Big Ol' Jack O'Brien, starting out the Zeitgang's day. Oh, Big Ol' Jack O'Brien, because the news is less depressing this way.
Oh,
yes, yeah! Nice.
Courtesy of at Bay of Becca, Becca Yar.
What was that to the tune of?
A Big Ol' Jet Airliner by one Steve Miller Band.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like you didn't know, man.
I didn't.
Always rocking out to classic 70s hits.
You know I am.
I am thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
And so I'm Miles Gray, yeah, just keep it with the Zeitgang, cause everybody's supposed to know. Oh, so I'm Miles Gray, yeah, cause they didn't know when I knew. Anyway, I'm like, I could keep going all day. I love TLC. And shout out to Amber Green at K0H4KU, or maybe you were supposed to be Kohaku? I don't know, maybe that's what you're trying to do with some code. But yeah, shout out to you for that TLC inspired AKA. Fun fact, during the after the Northridge quake, the only TV channel that came in on my TV was The Box. You know, the music
video
thing
I
where you could just call
box.
In.
Yeah,
for whatever reason, that video, Creep, came on fucking solid loop. Yeah. And I remember my dad cooking frozen food outside because we had to use a grill because there's no gas and the struggle was real.
Speaking
but
of
not
quakes,
if it was Puerto Rico.
Speaking of quakes, shout out to London where they're experiencing what they seem to think are earthquakes, 2 point something on the Richter scale, but that's cute.
Adorable.
And meanwhile, we in LA are experiencing
thunder.
Feel the to the point that everybody in our building just ran outside and was like looking around to see what just exploded because you never get thunder in Los Angeles.
The police looked confused. They were pointing their guns at the sky.
Our neighbor literally turned to me and said, "What was that?" And I said, "Thunder." And she's like,
"No,
nah, can't be." Anyways, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat, the co-creator and writer of the webcomic Harshmello, a podcaster with Black Girl Nerds, a proud Hufflepuff and member of the Water Tribe. Please welcome Joelle Monique.
Hey, that is a super old bio. Literally update that.
All
hilarious.
Right.
Hey.
I like it. I enjoyed it.
I'm glad.
What does Hufflepuff mean? Like you're an intellect?
No, Hufflepuff is like, they'd be the stoners. Their
dorm
is by the kitchen.
Hufflepuff,
they're just like nice, loving people.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Because I always wonder when people like be like, yo, I'm more this school. Because I don't really fuck with Harry Potter. So I don't. I just know Slytherin bad.
Slytherins
are awesome, but they are can also be racist. It just depends.
Shit.
You have to run across the right kinds of Slytherins.
Oh, okay.
There's hope.
Okay. So there's good ones and there's bad ones.
Well, Joelle, we are about to get to know you in a more up-to-date fashion, but first, we want to take our listeners through what they're about to find out from us. We're going to talk about Google getting fined $5 billion by the EU, and what Google, like, what are they doing? What is their end game here? Why do they make so much money, and how it affects you guys? We're going to talk how Russian media responded to the Trump-Putin
stand up 69.
Yeah, what standing 69. We're going to talk about just outright corruption, a couple examples of that. New person who they have nominated to
confirmed.
Confirmed to head up the Department of Justice Criminal Division. We're going to talk about why you're all of a sudden hearing shit talked about Montenegro from the Trump administration and his state run media. Like Tucker Carlson. We're going to ask where Congress is. We're going to talk about the Manafort trial. And then we're going to talk about how MGM Resorts are suing 1,000 victims, around 1,000 victims involved in the Vegas shooting. And finally, take a look at Elon Musk's weird history with pedophiles and Diarrhea Fest 2018.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find out what that means at the end of our show. But first, Joelle, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
I recently Googled where can I pick up my Comic-Con badge, and I feel like that is all I've been Googling about. It's just badges and train systems and schedules and all of that. It's just Comic-Con Central in the brain.
You got a media badge?
I do.
That's going to be on the second floor.
next to Hall. I want to say E or G. I don't know. I was there last year. Shamed I'm not there this year.
It's a good time. I'm looking forward to it. It's my first like official year. I went 2 years ago. I was able to sneak in twice.
Yep.
And then the guards were like,
"The friends passed you the badge."
Not even. Like, oh. I just wore a lanyard.
And oh,
was
shit.
Like, hey. And then I was, once you're inside, like, they don't really care.
Wait, how did you get through the gate? Because you normally have to hit your badge through so it goes.
Not
beep.
Two
you
years
just said,
ago. They oh. just implemented those. So I like skip. This is when they would just like put a bunch of guards by the front door.
Right. And
they're
like, you're good, you're good, you're good.
Eye scanning. Uh-huh. So, you know, I have a sweet face. I'd just be like, hi, bye, gotta go. And it was
right.
great. I met a bunch of my heroes. But yeah, this year it's official. It's legit. I'm really excited.
What are you most excited about to see down there?
Parties. So many industry party invites for the first time ever. And so I'm like,
that's
gonna
exciting.
Go hang out with all my friends. This is where my friends get to be superstars here. So it's amazing.
Yeah. That's
cool. What is something you think is overrated?
Overrated. I think unplugging is overrated. I think we've been told a lot, you know, like log off, like let your brain rest. You don't always need to be. The world is in chaos. Like, you should know and be aware of what's going on. And if you don't, I feel like whenever I unplug, I'm just thinking about like what's happened now.
Right.
Like, and then usually you have missed something and it's important.
Right.
You know, I think I'm plugging that.
But do you see any value to, like, because I know for me personally, I've realized I've slowly become more and more like attentive to other social media or like news things just for the show. And I've realized like I'm not creating sort of, I'm not cutting out time to like allow myself rest.
You.
I feel like there's a good way to like be organized about
right.
it. So like I like the Atlantic and BBC. So I'll just start there in the morning. I'll do my Twitter feed and maybe like 20 minutes. And no, I really try to limit the time I'm on Instagram stories, but they're so addictive.
Oh yeah.
But you know, like, and then I feel like, you know, you don't have to read everything. I think there's definitely limits are good and healthy. But I think people who are like, I can't look at the news. Like, it's just so depressing. What will we do? And I'm like, we can't do anything. No, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Like,
not
we can
right
definitely
now.
Do something, and you should definitely be, at the very least, like, treason is happening. You should know.
Can't bury your head in the sand right now.
No.
That's for sure, because lots of things are changing very quickly.
I definitely get the unplug, like, not paying attention to something anxiety where you're like, oh, something's happening. I know I need to, like, get back on that. Like, if I just don't check Twitter for too long, I'm like, this is not good. Something, it's going to be too much hitting me all at once. My brain is just going to not know how to react.
I want to install like a flat screen, like at the YouTube space, they have just a running like scroll feed of
yeah.
their Twitter.
Yeah.
If I could just do that, so I could be like writing and then look up and be like, okay, like we're arming ourselves. Good to know. And then
right.
go back to doing work. I can't do like through CNN. CNN likes to harp on one topic a day and then just like plow through it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't watch another 12 hours of this. That's
the one
awful.
Thing.
Yeah.
yeah.
I love BBC because they're like, we're going to give you a whole ass global perspective. You're going to be way informed.
Mm-hmm.
That's been kind of my background noise slash check in with
yeah.
the world lately.
You should check out this podcast, The Daily Zeitgeist. They fill you in on all
I
sorts
do.
Of
I
shit.
I love you guys. Where would I get my new music recommendations?
Oh,
there
well,
you go.
It is, I mean, just a warning, it is a second rate podcast.
What is something you think is underrated?
I think the fact that we're living in a world with universal storytelling, in other words, storytelling across media platforms, is highly, highly underrated. Like, these are the kind of things I thirsted for as a child. I
mm-hmm.
was like, you know, my cartoon's over, but I would love to play like a Doug video game. Where is my chance to explore this universe? It's like Patty Mayonnaise. Like, there's just too many opportunities
right.
for storytelling, and I don't think we've nearly tapped into the greatness and the power of it. Like, Disney is beginning to scratch the surface through Star Wars. Like, Rogue One was a really interesting perspective, but then it was right back to the Death Star and we were dealing with the same. Like, we have an entire universe to
yeah.
explore. Like, show me an alien who just like runs a grocery store on a distant planet.
Yeah.
Like, how is that guy's life affected by the Empire? There's just so like many opportunities for dope storytelling, and especially with the advent of VR happening right now, I think we don't take enough advantage of it. I hope kids are out there like getting ready to tell their stories.
What's the most exciting medium to you? Or personally, one that you would like to get involved in?
I feel like television is intriguing in that it can tell so many different people's stories
sure.
so quickly. I feel like you get, like, through shows like the Brooklyn Nine-Nine and stuff, you get the first kind of melting pot aspects of storytelling. And that's fun, but I would definitely say the most exciting is video games. Because we're just now that we're freed from a traditional controller,
yeah.
I think we have a lot more ways to be involved and interactive in our stories.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Isn't there some story that's being told that's like about a fictional high school where it's being told through like Facebook Live and Instagram stories and shit like that?
Have you heard about that? I have not stumbled across this, but it makes sense.
Yeah, it's apparently big with the kids. I am hip and of the moment.
Yep.
I really think like a Dating Sims Doug video game universe would be dope.
Yes.
That needs to happen. What is a myth? What's something that people think is true that you know to be false?
I'm going to go with the idea that you only get one chance. It's a thing I think we often tell. Like, I heard it a lot in college, mm-hmm. which is like, you want to be totally prepared because you only ever have one chance to enter this
right.
industry, which mm-hmm. if you're in this industry, you
do
know,
not
is
miss your
freakishly
chance to blow.
Absurd.
This opportunity comes once in a lifetime.
Like,
yo, you better lose yourself.
There's so many people like just trying to build things or just get things off the ground, and you may not hit it off with one person, but the next person will be like intrigued by your ideas. Like, I hate the idea that, you know, if you missed it, stop, because who is ever going to look at you again?
Right.
It's such a trash idea.
Right.
It's,
well, yeah, and it lends to this like scarcity mentality where opportunity is scarce, resources are scarce,
mm-hmm.
so you're already just going to be stingy about shit, or that also leads to hater mentality, because if everything is scarce and finite, then you look at somebody else who gets on, well, fuck that person, blah, 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 because maybe they took my spot.
Well, and also our obscene obsession with the young, like this idea of like, well, he struck it at 19, so he's got it and he'll always have it. And there's
right,
no,
yeah.
like, that guy maybe had a one-off, like really good idea. We've seen Hollywood do with a bunch of directors who've like, oh, they had their hit at Sundance and now we should put them in charge of a $60 billion movie. Like, that's not... That guy's still new to the craft. Like, he's
right.
still building.
Yeah, he's
yeah.
like, but he'll cave to the studio's demands. That's really
right.
what it is.
What?
It's like,
that's right.
they're like, you ain't brolic enough when I push back and be like,
right.
don't get rid of this character.
I don't
like,
want
okay,
Steven
this is...
Spielberg on this shit.
Yeah, it's like,
yeah.
this is my first movie. Fine, I don't want to blow
Steven
it. You know?
Spielberg's not going to take our notes.
But yeah, I think the idea, especially that idea like, oh, your ship has sailed, and that is not good because you have infinite opportunities. You know, there's so many, like, I think of how many different careers I could have had and how many boats I got on or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And motherfucker, there's so many boats to get on.
It's true.
And just live like that too. I think what's good is to change your mentality about it, if not like that you can miss a boat or there is only one shot, that you go, there are always fucking opportunities because there are. There are people who I've completely forgot about who hit me up sometimes and are like, hey, what you doing?
Yeah.
You want to do this thing or whatever?
I was talking to two dudes who just got into their 40s. They're comic book writers and they were like, Joel, no, you don't understand. Like, we've been around the block. And now everyone knows who we are, so we just get invited places. Like,
right.
I don't think I'm any more talented than I was 5 years ago, but
right.
I'm 40 and people know me. So I
right.
just get walked in. It's like, if you can hang and, you know, you appreciate, enjoy your craft and you're dedicated to it, eventually you will have some form of success.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point because, I mean, people are doing everything later in life now, too. They're having families later in life. They're, you know, moving out of their parents' houses later in life. Like, I think we should be a little more patient with our careers.
Yeah. And, but I think that's the economy, too, though.
Yeah, no, for sure. But, you know, give yourself a chance. Don't
yeah,
be like,
yeah,
well,
don't...
now I have to be an accountant.
Well,
my first screenplay did not sell.
Right.
Yeah, and there's all sorts of, like, back at Cracked, like, a type of story that we had an article that was, like, people who... you know, had lifetimes of failure and then like succeeded at the end. And like Colonel Sanders was just like a lifetime failure. He tried like 80 different things and like all of them, people were like, this sucks, man. You really need to. And then he opened up like a, you know, roadside gas station towards the end of his life and was like, well, I'm really good at making fried chicken, so I'll sell that here. And like it blew up and he became Colonel Sanders.
Idiot. It was right there the whole time.
Yeah.
You racist piece of shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's that.
That could have been his karma too.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Man, I don't know.
But yeah, guys, give yourself, be patient. Don't listen to F. Scott Fitzgerald with that American Life doesn't have second acts.
No,
that,
sir.
Just his American Life didn't because he was not taking good care of himself. All right, let's get into the stories, the news of the day. Miles,
mm-hmm.
Google has been fined $5 billion.
Could you imagine?
They're doomed.
A $5 billion bill?
A $5 billion, five bills, baby.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, actually, I mean, let's take this into account. Last year, you know how long it took them to make $5 billion? 16 days.
For real?
They made $5 billion every 16 days.
That's crazy.
So, okay.
I mean, still, I'm sure they're not taking this sitting down. I'm sure this is not like something they're going to shrug off, but
no,
yeah.
they're going to appeal.
Yeah, they make
Even
a
though,
lot of money, though.
Because they're mining all of our data.
Miles, how do they make that money, though?
Well, you wonder, like, why is your Gmail free? Why is that Chrome free? Why is everything that Google gives you free? Well, that's because...
how is it free? And then they are like, they've made more money in the last 15 years than any other company. Like, you know, you keep, I keep hearing, you know, you're the product, but I don't think, it just like doesn't impact my life in a way that is, you know, causes enough damage for me to like care that much. Like,
well, right. It's right now it just happens to you in freaky ways. Like, you know, we'll go on StockX to look at a sneaker price. And then you go on like the Wall Street Journal. And then on the side, there's StockX being like, I was just looking at this shit.
Yeah.
Because Google's like, hey, we know what you're up to. Yeah. And we know how to serve ads the best way. And yeah, that's how they make their money, because they have all of this data they can offer to people.
And it's not very intrusive. It doesn't put me out in any way. Yet.
But here is the twist. Now, this isn't directly to do with Google, but this has to do with how our data could possibly be used now to set our insurance rates. So ProPublica just did an investigation, I think with NPR, where they were just sort of tracking this growing trend in the healthcare industry where they're kind of starting to cozy up to data companies and combing through piles of data to assess whether people are sort of quote-unquote high-risk customers, or be able to understand, oh, maybe this community is going to cost more to insure, so maybe we need to stay the fuck out of there, sort of shit. So it started off, one of the reporters went to this healthcare expo in San Diego at the convention center where Comic-Con is, ironically enough. But yeah, they were showing off all their new products, but like some of the bigger shiny booths were for companies like LexisNexis or IBM Watson and others that sort of collect this publicly available data and offer healthcare providers with, quote, you know, analysis is what they call it, on certain communities to, quote, learn more about the communities they serve.
That's inherently racist.
Well, yes, and ableist and all kinds of ists that you can think of. So it's, you know, there is a truth to it, but it's also kind of bullshit as much as they want to deny, like, well, we're not really, we're just kind of getting an idea of what we're, like, get a snapshot of the people, because there's really no public scrutiny on this. So these companies, from the article, they say they're tracking your race, education level, TV habits, marital status, net worth. They're collecting what you post on social media, whether you're behind on your bills, what you order online. Then they feed this information into a complicated computer algorithm, and that spits out predictions about how much your healthcare could cost them. So, for example, if you are a low income and minority, that means the data brokers say you are more likely to live in a dilapidated and dangerous neighborhood, increasing your health risks. So this is basically, we're getting a step closer to some full on Black Mirror shit where they're like, oh, we're going to assume to know you based on these little bits of data that we have and begin to dictate what your healthcare is going to cost or discriminate against you just because of this algorithm, because we live in a corporatocracy and they're trying to save money. So, yes, I think it's really important that we sort of know about what's going on, because when in this country, the consumers, us, whether it's through taxes or premiums or payments to the insurance companies, we fund the entire fucking industry. So to know about this kind of potential for discriminatory practice is very, very alarming. So yeah, they're like other data scientists who have been really alarmed by this, who like kind of were grossed out with the work they were doing, where they were like, wait, what's this used for? And they're like, they just want to know like if this neighborhood is probably high potential for premature death or something like that, or cancer or whatever.
Have you guys ever done insurance screening, like life insurance screening? Because shit gets real very quick. Every question they ask you is like trying to judge how soon you're going to die.
Yeah.
And like you have to determine if you're going to be honest. My advice would be don't be honest. Just say whatever you think they want to hear.
Well, I'm a paint-huffing base jumper.
Yeah, exactly.
I like to do a lot of base jumping. I like to huff paint. I live in a garage filled with grease rags.
I just leave the door open.
And I cook with a blowtorch. So what's my premiums look like?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what the fuck. So this is like right now, again, everyone's like, no, there's no way we're going to do this, because clearly that would lead to people trying to identify pre-existing conditions through your data and shit like that. Mm. And so far, obviously, people like Ted Cruz are trying to kneecap the protections that we have from discriminating against people who have pre-existing conditions. But this is just kind of, you know, it's getting a little bit darker. And like, I think in the course of this investigation, one of the people went up to someone who was representing one of these data companies and was like, oh, there's kind of like, you know, there's potential for like bad stuff. Like, nah, not really. I mean, like, we don't think so. He's like, but you know, you could live on the wrong side of the street, and then, you know, things right. can get real bad real quick. And you're like, well, what the fuck are you just saying right now? You're talking
about... You're saying I'm not in trouble. Like, yeah. I'm. There's no chance that I'm going to fall because I built the system, so yeah. I'm aware. I'm prepared.
Yeah.
Yeah. That seems fair, that people who have less money are charged more money for having less money, essentially.
Yeah. Well, that's how they, you know, that's how they stay profitable.
Yeah. But, I mean, this is just a very clear-cut way that living in a corporatocracy is not great, and you know, you are not going to see Google find $5 billion in America or by the American system unless mm-hmm. you know, things change and there is like a complete change in the paradigm people are using and to vote and to think about this sort of shit.
At the very least, we need our representatives in government to protect our information like they do in Europe.
Right.
You know what I mean? Where your personal data is like off the fucking table. Isn't like, no. But we don't have that yet. So
how long do you think before we become just a straight up feudal system, but like our overlords are like Google and Amazon and Alibaba? And...
I mean, like, I think we're at the part where like we don't realize that that's sort of happening yet.
Yeah.
Because there's still some semblance of, I don't know.
Whose team do you choose if you get to choose? I feel like I've thought about it a lot. I think Amazon is going to be the way to go. They're going to have, like, you know, you can get your food delivered, but
the drones.
Also, yeah, you know, they've got the stock. They're going to have cars soon.
I mean, Apple seems like the least inherently evil because they at least are selling a thing, so they don't have to like fuck us over by. And I guess Amazon is too, but Amazon's the way the people who work for them are treated are. But yeah, no, I've thought about that too. But yeah, when there are only four companies left, we're all going to have to pick sides
for one
and
will
fight each other for the death.
To my corporate overlord, Nike.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I want to look good when the earth is falling.
No, Nike's going to be bought by one of the four big ones.
Yeah.
Taco Bell. We talked about this. They're going to win the franchise wars. Demolition Man prophesized this.
A lot of Yum Brands content here up top.
KFC.
All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And we wanted to check in with the Russian media. I don't know what I expected, but I assumed that maybe the Russian state-run, like literally state-run media, would have some decorum about, you know, the fact that Trump was like on Team Russia, you know, that they would just be like, what? No, we don't know what you're talking about. But they just full-on were like,
they couldn't believe what they saw
at the Helsinki presser.
Yeah. So Julia Davis, who is an analyst of Russian media, was like she monitors Russian state news and sort of tweets stuff out or does analysis on her website, or I think on her site. Anyway, so she had a couple tweets that are very interesting. One was like, it's just like this new show where they just go through the news stories and they have like, you know, the way they do their shows are kind of amazing. Like
shows look like they take place on the set of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Or like Krypton.
Yeah.
I don't know, one of the two.
Yeah.
But so one of them, they're looking at a political article, and the host says, let's analyze Trump's performance at the presser. At which point in time could you say he was licking Putin's boots? Fucking shit. And then they said, why did Arnold Schwarzenegger describe him as a wet noodle? He said nothing about the annexation, Russian aggression, or Skripal. Like, right. They were even like, my man, where are you at?
He's
like,
not even bringing up all this evil shit we did.
Right. And then they went very, then another person, the host says, it's very bizarre. You can't bash your own country like that, especially when you're the president. Then the female host says, when Trump says our relations are bad because of American foolishness and stupidity, he really smells like an agent of the Kremlin.
That is amazing.
And then elsewhere on the media, there's a newspaper headline that says, the West attempts to isolate Russia failed, and RT... their reaction was, the Cold War is over, saying that the U.S. and Russia are now allies.
Yeah.
So
they weren't shy about spiking the football. They were just like, we won.
They were, but also they were kind of like, yo, stand up for yourself a little bit, bro. Like, maybe the victory wasn't as satisfying because he just bent over so easily, just capitulated. I don't know.
Yeah, or maybe they're just so not afraid of him having any sort of backbone or coming back at them that they know they can just talk open shit about it.
I mean,
it.
When they're literally saying, at which point in time could you say he was licking Putin's boots?
I know.
Was like, what? Okay.
Yeah, I feel like we've entered a new part of the Trump administration where they're not even trying to cover shit up anymore.
Well, because the wheels are starting to come off, so right. You got to just hit the accelerator and try to get this thing over the finish line.
He's lying about things that are not possible given the space-time continuum and, like, the laws of physics. yesterday, obviously, he said that, he meant to say he doesn't know why it wouldn't be Russia, which actually, and he also went into this, run things back, press conference by saying, this should have been obvious to everybody, but I can.
I'm an agent of the Kremlin.
Right. But he was like, this should have been obvious to everybody, but I meant, I don't know why it wouldn't be Russia. Let's listen to his original statement and take that analysis into account.
My people came to me, Dan Coats came to me and some others. They said they think it's Russia. I have President Putin. He just said it's not Russia. I will say this. I don't see any reason why it would be, but I really do want to see the server. But I have confidence in both parties.
What?
So that... There's no way he meant to say would not be.
No, contextually, no.
Contextually, that would have made no sense.
No.
At all. But anyways, also just when he was going into this conference where he said, I meant to say wouldn't, obviously, how did you guys miss that? He had a statement written out, and there was a part of the statement... at the end of the statement, it said, I believe the intelligence and the perpetrators will be brought to justice. And he scratched that part out and wrote no collusion over it with one L. He doesn't know how to spell collusion.
Well, because he took the other L.
So, yeah. Hey. So.
I mean, also the other part where he goes, Dan Coats came in and they said they think it's Russia. My man. They concluded
it
was Russia after they had all the information in front of them. Like this, I don't understand how he thinks it works. Like it's not like a lost fan theory. We're like, I think that it could be this. I don't know though. You do what you want, Trump.
He's such a poster boy for why growing up rich is a terrible idea. Like this idea that clearly nobody ever held him accountable for anything.
Yeah.
Right.
Because like, dude. We see you. It's recorded. I can rewind it and watch it again. And he always comes out and it's just like, no, not what I said. Not what I meant. Didn't even happen. But my bro, we heard you. Okay.
Yeah. He did the same thing in that Theresa May interview where he was like, he gave a detailed, long interview where he was like, she's an idiot. I told her not
to do this. I wouldn't have done it like that.
I wouldn't have done it like this. And then somebody asked him about that interview and he called it fake news. Motherfucker, you recorded an interview.
Yeah.
These are not like opinions. They are direct quotes
out your mouth
of you saying things. Also, like the Stormy Daniels thing still is like in the back of my mind fucking with me because that is just straight up, I don't know. I don't think he was like, all right, arrest her now. But I think like that is his supporters in positions of power using their official capacity to harass someone for just, disagreeing. Yeah. It's just symbolic harassment you'd see in a movie like set in a small town in Mississippi in like the 60s.
Sets a precedent that's kind of terrifying. This idea that if you rightfully so call a president out on his bullshit, like you might just get swept up later. And like, especially now as we see a rise from a lot of activists, particularly the people who are creating this like underground railroad of sorts to help reunite like parents and children, like. It's important that they remain vocal and that we continue to keep eyes on them because I think the reality is they could start disappearing very quickly.
Well, yeah, there was a reporter who said he was specifically targeted by ICE because he was out there reporting on everything and he, I think he was a naturalized citizen, but he got harassed and I think detained.
It's wild.
So,
yeah. And I mean, we also have this story about the Department of Justice confirming the new head of their criminal division, and he is someone with suspicious ties to Putin or a Putin-controlled bank and literally zero prosecutorial experience.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a thing that in a rational world, nobody would even put him forward as an option for this role. But
yeah, well, I mean, he did have positions under Bush like doing stuff at the DOJ. I mean, he's been in government, but yeah, but not like he was working for that law firm Kirkland and Ellis, who represents Alpha Bank. And then Alpha Bank, there was that server in Trump Tower that they were like, that the New York Times or other reporters are like, yo, this is like this weird server in the basement of Trump Tower that communicates with Alpha Bank in Russia.
So this is something that I had totally missed. But so Alpha Bank is one of these, you know, Putin doesn't actually have the money. He's probably the richest person in the world or second to Bezos, depending on what day it is. But he has the money and the people around him and in banks that are controlled by the government. And Alpha Bank is one of these banks. And there was a point during the election where computer scientists noticed that Alpha Bank was communicating with a Trump server, a server that was under the control of like the Trump organization, and that the server was communicating with the company of Dick DeVos, who is the husband of Betsy DeVos.
Who is the brother of Eric Prince, who runs Blackwater, who was in the Seychelles to meet with agents of Russia. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm crazy.
Yeah. It just,
I don't know.
It does sound crazy, but it's all tied together. And the reason the people noticed it in the first place is they were worried about Russia tampering with the election after the DNC leak. So they checked to see if the Russians were also trying to communicate with Trump computers and, you know, try to break in. But instead, they found evidence of something else entirely in computer logs. And they sent the computer logs over to this guy, Paul Vixie, who they say there's like no higher authority when it comes to this sort of thing.
Yeah, he's like a DNS expert.
Yeah, he wrote central strands of the DNS code that makes the internet work. And
okay, wow.
Yeah, so...
Well, what does he know?
He concluded...
He might be a pedophile.
Quote, the parties were communicating in a secretive fashion. The operative word is secretive. This is more akin to what criminal syndicates do if they're putting together a project.
Mm-hmm.
So Trump has weird communications with this bank that is under control of the Kremlin. U.S. intelligence had enough evidence to get a FISA warrant on October 15th to investigate the Russian bank Trump computer connection. And people think this is maybe what Trump was actually talking about when he claimed Obama had his wires tapped in Trump Tower.
Mm-hmm.
And
they say that server stopped communicating with Russia after the Times started asking Alpha Bank in Russia about it. They're like, oh, fucking unplug that shit.
Yeah. So there were further allegations about Alpha Bank being involved in Russian influence campaign to swing the election to Trump. Alpha Bank sued BuzzFeed for publishing the Steele dossier. And then eventually they hired a guy with ties to the Trump organization. The man they hired, Brian Benzkowski, is the guy who was just approved just confirmed to be the head of the criminal division for the Department of Justice.
Yeah. And he was also the same dude with working for that law firm that like basically whitewashed the server, like the Alpha Bank server, and was like, yeah, we had some security experts look at it. Looks all good from here.
Right.
And also, mind you, that this criminal justice division oversees the Mueller investigation. And I'm pretty sure he also said that he will not recuse himself from anything related to that.
I am so sad.
Yeah.
I'm so sad for our country. What is happening?
He was confirmed 51-48. Thanks, Joe Manchin.
When do we take to the streets? Like, because the evidence is just, it's overwhelming and insurmountable. And the fact that like our justice system hasn't, or at least we can't feel it kicking in yet.
Right.
Not seeing heads roll. Except for reality show star. I forget her name. You guys don't have the original whistleblower. Oh, my gosh.
Summers.
It's reality something. She has like a reality. Her name is like reality.
Oh, her name is reality something. Yeah.
She's the only person who's been prosecuted so far.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Right. Who gave that stuff to Intercept,
the
right?
Leaker.
Reality
yeah.
show winner, right?
Yes. I feel like that's reality winner, I think, is her name.
So other than reality winner, we haven't seen anyone be prosecuted yet. I mean, we have some trials going on and like their feet are being held to the fire. But other than that, it's just so open and like the whole entire world sees it. And we're just like, it just like I'm going to San Diego Comic-Con this weekend. I don't really know. It feels like we should just be standing in the street like no more of this. We're here.
Yeah. The dangers keep mounting. Right. Like the changes and the really bizarre actions of the president keep mounting, like in that Tucker Carlson interview where he was talking basically about being like, yo, man, if my Negro gets tagged, I mean, what the fuck are we going to do?
Wait, what happened in the...
In the Tucker Carlson interview.
Okay.
So, you know...
So Tucker Carlson had an interview with Trump and he didn't hold his feet to the fire?
No, of course not.
What?
Because Carlson was like saying, just basically like, why should my son go to Montenegro to defend it from attack?
So what's going on with Montenegro? Yeah.
So there was a plot in 2016 that was foiled, thank God, where basically the Russians were behind a coup where these dudes are going to come to the parliament, just off everyone in parliament, install a new...
Like murder them?
Yeah, yeah. Kill them. Shoot them and put in a Serbian nationalist to basically take over parliament and then basically be like, hey, we love Russia, and begin basically doing sort of like this shit that happened in Ukraine of basically putting in this pro-Russian government and now giving Russia access to the Adriatic Sea, which is the thing that they're after.
So Russia wants Montenegro, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And again, this was like a thing where Trump in this interview, so Tucker Carlson said, why should my son go to Montenegro to defend it from attack? And then Trump's answer, I understand what you're saying. I've asked the same question. You know, Montenegro is a tiny country with very strong people. They are very aggressive people. They may get aggressive. And congratulations, you're in World War III. But that's the way it was set up. Don't forget, I just got here a little more than a year and a half ago. So he's basically saying, I'm not going to step in if Montenegro is trying to defend its fucking self and acting like they are too aggressive. So we're saying, hey, yo, Russia, you got the green light. We might not intervene if you pull some shit in Montenegro.
Not only that, but a fundamental misunderstanding of what caused World War II. Just like more than two countries at war. World War III.
World War III.
Right. We're going, it's also down that not road. How NATO works. Like, NATO will not back you if you start an aggressive war with Russia. They will back you if Russia attacks you and like you haven't done anything.
Right.
And it's a completely defensive. They are a defense alliance. They help you defend, but it's amazing how coherent the strategy is that they just are like, here, Tucker, these are your questions.
Set me up.
Yeah. I'm sure Tucker Carlson's son loves being used in like a plot to fucking justify treason, essentially. But yeah, so Tucker Carlson comes out. Why should my son go to Montenegro to defend it from an attack? He really likes to lean on the fact that he has kids, like almost like he's an alien who is like trying to prove that he's a human being. But yeah, so basically they're trying to make the case that Montenegro is this wild power. And it's funny that this is happening right after he met with Putin, because a lot of people on the right, on the front page of Breitbart today, they're like, well, we're already seeing the victories from Trump, because they have said that they're going to, you know, keep tabs on Iran and Syria. So, I mean, he's already showing that, like, why he had that meeting with Putin. But meanwhile, the real results that we're seeing is that he's already justifying, like basically saying, go ahead, Russia, you can attack Montenegro, these people who you've really wanted to attack for a long time.
Destabilize the region.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's what makes it bums you out, because you're like, where the fuck is Congress at? Because that really is one of our, I mean, one of the few checks. Clearly, the Justice Department is doing what they can through the special counsel and things like that. But Congress, yo, you guys got to realize you are also a check on the executive branch.
What?
You don't just have to be deferential to the president and just be a rubber stamp for everything. And that's where we're in a place, like you're saying, Jack, that's very different now, especially after that Helsinki thing, where you can look at the president himself being a national security risk.
Right.
The president himself.
He seems to be acting in the interest of Russia more than the interest of the United States.
100%. And like, when you take into account the shits that's gone down, like he eliminated the cybersecurity role at the NSC and the National Security Council, like, and is not going to hire anyone else, like, because he doesn't give a fuck, or just is basically being like, yo, you know, we're just going to turn a blind eye to the cyber threats that are being posed to this country. Or, you know, just the murky shit, like the day that Maria Butina gets charged and indicted as basically acting as a Russian agent, infiltrating the NRA and stuff. Suddenly the IRS is just like, hey, certain 501c groups that use dark money like the NRA, they don't have to tell us where their money comes from anymore. So
wait, that just happened?
I think on Monday. It was either yesterday. Basically at the same time, that's like the next thing. It's like
at the same time it's revealed that the NRA has something to hide. They're like, and you don't have to show us anything.
And you can
NRA.
Hide everything.
Right.
You have nothing to hide but hide whatever
you want.
So this is all fucking bad. And you know that
we should have just opened with that. This is all fucking bad.
Good
night, everyone.
And yo, but Congress at some point, right? We're past the fucking willful ignorance bullshit where you can be like, well, I don't know, like, you know. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yo, you're gonna look fucking dumb when the ashen remains of this country is found by some archaeologist and looks in the history books and says, oh my God, I think the civilization crumbled because of these Republicans who sat on their fucking hands and did fuck all to protect the country. At some point, right, they have to realize that they are in power and they have to step up at the detriment of our democracy.
Yeah.
So what are they gonna do?
I don't think they care. Like, those checks have to be so damn good. Like, if you think about the number of days they get off per year, the fact that most of these people don't hold actual jobs or participate
right.
within their communities, the fact that they, like, you get to coast and you vote essentially along your own financial lines. Like, I honestly feel like this is a very elaborate coup to take over our country. I don't think Trump is going to leave office willingly.
That's what I've been saying.
I don't see how or why he would do that. I feel like it's going to have to either come to like revolution or horrible, horrible suffocation by our government, because at this point they've made clear that what they seek is just power and money. And that's not what our government was designed to support or to do.
Mm-mm.
Right. Or to fight off.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you know, nobody has been this blatant about it. And yeah, I've been saying around the office and not saying on the podcast because I feel like it makes me sound a little crazy, but the way Putin came to power was a false flag terror attack where he like blew up five buildings and blamed it on like Chechen rebel groups. And, you know, all the evidence has pointed to the fact that it was orchestrated by Putin. And the only thing making me feel like Trump wouldn't do that is because he does not have the cooperation of intelligence agencies, so they'd fuck him over if he did try something like that. But like, he is going to do whatever he can to seize more power, and
yeah.
It's just becoming more and more obvious he's not trying to hide shit anymore.
Well, especially when he said, what was it, last year or earlier this year, he was like, well, I mean, look what 9/11 did for George Bush in the midterms.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it was what playbook are you looking at?
Right.
And that's why too, the translator who was in the little private 2-hour, 10-minute meeting between Trump and Putin was just translators. Congress could bring this translator and be like, yo, what the fuck did they say? Because if you think about what happened in the Singapore meeting with Kim Jong-un, suddenly without telling anybody, he came out of that meeting saying, okay, we're going to stop military exercises with South Korea.
Right.
And where did that idea come from? Fucking
also,
Vladimir Putin.
It's wildly bizarre. Like, Putin doesn't need a translator.
Right.
Like, Putin speaks perfect English. So the idea that they needed they had the translators like that in and of itself is a power move on Putin's part. And it's just bizarre.
It's, you know, look, this is why at the very least, right? I mean, you know, get your marching shoes ready.
Right.
Because, I mean, I'm looking at them shits every day.
Right.
Like, I have them. I just got them. They're fucking ready to go.
They're beautiful shoes, by the way.
Thank you so much. But the thing is, and they're Crocs, by the way.
I didn't want to say.
I wanted it to be a surprise,
yeah,
but they are red, white,
so
and
when
blue
you see me,
Crocs.
Well, no, they're not red, white, and blue. They're black, green, and red. But the thing is, one of our few options we have right now as just citizens is to get the fuck out and vote these motherfuckers out as quickly as possible. Now, what the actual enthusiasm is going to be in November. You'd hope it would be high, that there can be some semblance of a wave, a blue wave. But I think it's very important for people to also remember that that is one of the few options you have as citizens to at least cast a vote. And we know, with all due respect to other advocacy groups, because they're doing good work too, but people also need to be aware that there are certain people that are in Congress right now, like Devin Nunes, like, we have to put Democrats in there, or at least people who have some semblance of a soul or moral scruples. I don't know.
Yeah. And the GOP has not shown the ability to show that shit.
All new parties. Give me 10 of them. 10 new parties with new platforms, diverse and driven for different. Like, the fact that we are still on a two-party system kills me. The fact that, like, we could only drum up 20% when, like, Trump was coming of the youth vote to come out and vote is ridiculous. I don't know. I honestly don't understand how we haven't carried Trump out. Like, America, like, circa 90s, 80s, like, pro, just like, no one F's with our country. Like, that whole mentality that Trump has tried to take on himself. It's so weird how he can then just be like, oh, but that's not me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This idea of, like, you're just made, like, it's treason. Yeah, but it's fine because I'm doing it. I don't understand how it works in people's heads.
Yeah. All new parties. I think the moral I'm getting is that you like parties is basically
what I'm
saying.
You like parties.
I like options right. and decisions.
All right. We are going to talk about the one sort of pinprick of light possibly at the end of the tunnel when we get back. And we're back, and yes, I promised a pinprick of light at the end of the long, dark tunnel that we're traveling down, but just a little more length and darkness. So Maria Butina, super producer Nick Stumpf, pointed out that there are correspondences between her and her, basically, handler, her Kremlin...
Her boss.
Alexander Torshin. And... they're talking to each other, and he's like, just remember the long game. Like, yeah. Stay cool, stay
cold-blooded.
Yeah. So, like, this is part of a long play. These are only the early steps if we don't do something.
And changing the worldview of the citizens in this country is how you can subtly play mental warfare games with the population without physically entering the space.
Right.
Because you then get into the minds of them, and you can create people who are like, oh, yeah, look, we just opened these people up to now... fucking just turning their head a little bit this way. And that's the danger of all this.
And also this morning when Trump was coming out of his meeting with Congress, he was asked if Russia is still a threat to America, and he said no. So that's our pinprick of light, guys.
No
need to worry about it.
You know what, Nick? Erase the last 25 minutes.
Yeah. We don't. It's over.
Sorry, guys.
No, that is actually more length and darkness to the tunnel. But we do want to talk about the Manafort trial, which is coming our way.
Yeah.
It was actually delayed by a week.
Yeah.
And we don't know why yet.
Well, it's weird because he's in the Eastern District of Virginia, and that court is known as the Rocket Docket, meaning they fucking fly through shit. And prosecution even wanted more time, and the judge was like, nah, fam. This is a Rocket Docket. Get it done in 2 weeks. And I think you can. So it was a little odd that there was a delay. And it could be for very innocent reasons. Or maybe Manafort is reconsidering his legal strategy. Maybe to possibly plead guilty and then begin cooperating because it doesn't look like he's enjoying his time in prison. But we also found out that Robert Mueller asked the judge there to grant immunity to 5 secret witnesses who are willing to testify against Manafort, but for immunity. So that's interesting because these are people who have been unnamed up until now. He just said, I have 5 people. And if even if it doesn't go to trial, they will not be named. It's just sort of like I have people on deck who are ready, who have the receipts.
Right.
And based on the idea, like, you know, this is a lot about this has to do with his money laundering. So these could probably be people who facilitated the laundering of the money. So, yes, pressure for Paul Manafort.
And so Marcy Wheeler is someone we've been talking about around the office for a while because she dropped some intriguing blog posts in the past couple weeks, basically saying that she's been cooperating with the FBI with regards to the Russia investigation because she realized that someone within the Trump administration who was a source of hers was basically working with Russia. The day after the inauguration, they were like, hey, okay, so we need to get things moving. And somebody sent her correspondence that indicated that they were, like, basically the day after the inauguration starting to do Russia's bidding. And she was on Pod Save America on Monday, and it seems like she can't name names, and she's, you know, a government witness, so she's still being vague, but she knows a lot more than most of us know, and she's basically saying the other shoe is going to drop, that there are, like, some big, as she put it, plot twists that are still coming down the pike in the Mueller investigation, and basically just generally hold on to your butts.
The other shoe?
Yes.
What is the fucking octopus?
Yeah.
Like, fucking 6 shoes dropped already?
Yeah. She's like, yeah, you're going to be surprised about a lot of what's coming.
Cool.
So that
strap on your marching
is
Crocs.
The one thing that's like, oh, so there are still people out there who are working on this and who aren't, you know, Mueller is just waiting for the right time to reveal different things.
I hope this ends in a good way so I can watch the upcoming Lifetime movie about this whole time. That'll be really fun to watch.
I do think this is going to take years and years to
unpack
and, you know, all of the people who have been claiming Trump is playing fourth dimensional chess or, you know, all that shit and going along for the ride. Like, you guys really need to take a moment and think about how you're going to feel in a couple years when this is all being unpacked, if it is all being unpacked and we're not doing the bidding of a totalitarian dictator, and, you know, think about how that's going to look. Because we are keeping track of who's on what side. So let's talk about just more general fuckery, guys. MGM Resorts, what are they up to, Miles?
They are basically in an attempt to avoid liability for the Vegas shooting where Stephen Paddock killed, I think, 58 people and injured 850. They are basically preemptively suing over 1,000 victims, around just over 1,000 victims. Yeah, to get themselves off the hook for any legal liability.
Now, suing them for what exactly?
I'm still confused. It's a lot of weird legalese.
I think it's suing them for suing.
Yeah.
Countersue?
Yeah, basically.
Counter-suit.
But because I know that their whole thing is that they're leaning on this idea that they had proper security there. That, like, you know, after like 9/11, there were like certain statutes added to the law that, like, oh, we had this proper security company there, so therefore we did what we had to do legally. So, sorry guys, we can't sue us. But a lot of, like, the lawyers representing the victims are basically saying, like, they're trying to just take this out of state court and into federal court, and this looks to them like they're just sort of judge shopping for a judge who will be more inclined to side with them. And rule on their behalf.
But what kind of judge is going to side with the giant corporation instead of the people, you know?
The one with blind
pockets? Oh, the Supreme Court?
Like all the courts?
All the courts now?
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Moving on.
Yeah. So we wanted to talk about Elon Musk real quick.
Who's
just
that?
Because he, we talked on Monday about the fact that he accused a actual hero who saved a bunch of children's lives or was instrumental in saving a bunch of children's lives of being a pedophile. Because
classic right-wing attack
right,
on somebody.
Yeah,
cool.
Jack Probiotics or whatever the fuck his name is. And yeah, now Elon Musk. Elon Musk also taking a page out of the right-wing book by claiming everything is fake news when people criticize
His hairline? Oh.
Yeah, also his hairline's totally fake. Look at pictures from like 5 years ago.
Honestly, though, he's got a good one. Futuristic glow up for his
hairline. He did get, that is our future, guys. We will be able to get that much more hair, Miles.
Fingers crossed, man. Maybe they can solve ED first.
Right. So, you know, this diver, just to refresh people, this diver who helped save these kids was like Elon Musk's child-sized submarine is stupid because it can't fit in the cave that I know very well because I've been swimming through and like helping save these kids. It just like wouldn't work at all. And he said for Elon Musk to shove his submarine up his ass. And Elon Musk responded like, oh, nice try, pedo guy. And, you know, just basically like a spoiled child, which is not overly surprising since he grew up, his dad owns a emerald mine in Zambia,
African mining has always been, you know, class acts.
Yep.
Not fucking just, you know, towards, I don't know. That's all you need to say. The motherfucker had an emerald mine in Zambia.
Yeah. He used to walk around as a teenager. There's stories of him walking through New York City with emeralds in his pockets, just, you know, just lousy with emeralds.
'Cause I got emeralds in my pocket.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, another interesting thing about him and his father is that his dad recently had a child with a 30-year-old woman. His dad is in his 70s. And that 30-year-old woman happened to have been his stepdaughter, who he had raised from the age of 4.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And so it's just interesting that he would be throwing pedophile stones when his dad lives in a glass house with a 30-year-old woman he raised from age 4 and the child they had together. So I don't know, man. The dude's just, he comes from a very dark place.
Do you remember when everyone thought Elon Musk was going to be like
Tony Stark?
Yes, some of that, but also back before we knew, like, his true evil soul, the scientist who wanted to give everybody free electricity. Why am I blanking on names?
Tesla?
Yes. There's a minute where people, when Elon Musk first came out, where they were like, this guy is going to, you know,
to do, yeah.
He's like, he's going to be the great. And he named his car like after Tesla. I'm like, that's his vision. Like, we're going to have like science is our future. And it's so exciting. And like in the last like maybe year and a half, just through being on social media, he's completely tanked the idea of any kind of like, he's like, I don't take buses. I'm not doing like, it's gross and everyone should have their own car. Well, you know, buses and trains could save our planet.
Yeah.
You know, public transportation is a really great way. It's a great equalizer amongst class division. You're not interested in any of those things? Dope.
No.
Cool, Elon. Whatever.
Yeah. We should isolate ourselves more.
Yeah, I don't trust that guy. And the whole like stuff about the way he treats his workers, similar to what Amazon is doing. It's just like,
yeah, not cool.
Got to boycott everybody.
Yeah. Turns out the Tesla comparisons were just good branding. But speaking of good branding, guys, it's time to talk about the Iowa State Fair, aka what we're branding Diarrhea Fest 2018.
So, yeah, August 9th, it opens up. And man, look, if anybody can fly me out to Des Moines, Iowa. Des Moines, I'm sorry. Whoa, boy, I just showed my ass there.
I believe it is Des Moines.
I think it's Des Moines. Is how I would say it. But yes, the Des Moines Register just put out the list of some of the foods that will be out today. And my goodness, the combination of words on that list are mouthwatering.
I really thought I was prepared being a Midwesterner and you guys dropped some bombs on me. And I was.
Oh, right. Because you've been to a state fair or two.
So many state fairs. So many local fairs, town fairs, state fairs. And
you've
like,
been to the Iowa State
delicious.
Fair.
Delicious. I have not been to Iowa. I've done Illinois, I've done Indiana and Michigan.
Okay.
And they're great. You know, you get your deep fried Oreos. You. Like transcend to a place of bliss for 5 minutes. It's really wonderful. Then you guys told me about chocolate chip cookie dough spaghetti, and that's a tap out.
I was
for
on
me.
Board until that.
So here's some highlights. Okay, they got pork belly burnt ends poutine. Okay,
yep.
I'm with that.
Yep.
Bacon pancake dippers.
Here for it.
And great. Pickle beer?
Not really, but
that is a Midwest classic, man. We like frozen pickles. People like frozen pickles. I'm not one of them.
Ooh, that's kind of odd. Like salty and frozen.
Sonic's got a whole slushy of frozen pickle flavor.
That's a hard pass for me, dog.
They
got Snickers in a waffle on a stick.
Yes. Yeah, uh-huh.
They got chicken in a waffle on a stick.
Also, yes.
Breakfast sausage in a waffle on a stick.
Honey sriracha cheese sticks.
Yep.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Please.
Mm-hmm. And then... the favorite cookie dough spaghetti.
That's a
fuck
hard
you,
pass.
Iowa.
That looks weird, but I mean,
unless it's like so. In the Midwest, we like to do things where we call food a certain thing because it looks similar.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You know. So like, if you guys had a walking taco before,
a walking taco.
Yeah, they take a Doritos bag, like the little personal ones. They cut the top off of it, like basic like Kraft cheese, like some kind of meat. Over the top, and they're
Frito
like,
pie?
Here's an actual taco. And you're like, it's not. But
oh,
thank you, I
whoa.
Guess. So it would be
walking
wild
taco.
If, like, this cookie dough was like, it's, I don't know, like a flour noodle with chocolate sauce. That just feels like
Or they're
like
just taking cookie dough through, like, a spaghetti press thing, and they're just like,
just
cranking out the
of
strands of cookie dough.
As long as,
here
it's,
for it.
As long as it's Hershey syrup and not marinara sauce, I guess that would be
It's
okay.
Actually, I'm looking now, ragu old world style.
Oh, well, then I'm fine.
Yeah.
Because that stuff is basically corn syrup.
It's how
like
your Nona used to make
it.
It.
Yes.
Hey, my Nona, man, her gravy on top of the fucking cookie dough spaghetti, bro.
This is so offensive, Miles.
Hey, oh, whoa.
Oh.
I love cookie dough spaghetti. I'm here for it.
All right, man.
I'm just to try it. Also, deep fried pecan pie on a stick.
Yes.
I'm all the way in.
Your final heart attack for the night.
Yeah, and apple egg rolls. Yo, fuck it.
So that's just apple pie in the form of egg rolls?
It's gotta be.
Like just taking maybe phyllo dough or something, a little, something malleable.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll... get some reviews, hopefully, from some Iowa Zeit gang.
Yeah, I know they're out there.
Yeah, let us know what that cookie dough spaghetti is like.
All those people who went to Linmar High School, you know, get out there. Let me know what happened.
Joelle.
Yes.
It was lovely having you here.
It's so great to be here.
Where can people find you?
Y'all should check out Pajiba. It sounds like vagina because it's spelled similar. It's PAJIBA.com. We are a feminist website. We talk about all things from, you know, facts and news to in my corner of the internet, pop culture.
Mm-hmm.
So exciting. Also, all over the internet, at Joelle Monique, JoelleMoniqueE.
And is there a tweet that you have been enjoying as consumer of Twitter?
Yes. You need to check out Rebecca Theodore Vachon and Clarkeisha Kent. For a full month, they have been talking about colorism in film. It started when Clarkeisha asked the question, can you name any dark-skinned female actresses under the age of 30. And people were like, Lupita, over 30. Issa Rae, over 30. And we found that there's this large void in film. We don't see a lot of dark-skinned child actors. And why is that? And how do we solve that problem? You can join their continuing conversation literally every day. They're bringing up new topics, discussing it, talking to casting directors. It's a fascinating exploration of Hollywood through Twitter.
Mm-hmm. All right. We will check that out. Pajiba is a great website. Miles, where can people find you?
Follow me, Twitter, Instagram, at Miles of Gray. And a tweet that I like recently came from Jamie Loftus, the hacker herself. And I don't want you guys to fall for her hacker BS because she's out here perpetrating crimes against people. She tweeted, if you look like this, DM me. And it was a photo of her looking like Jamie. But I just want to warn people, do not like the photo. Do not DM her. She's a hacker and she's out here fronting like she knows binary. She doesn't. You know what I mean? And I may have to start a hacker beef with her.
All right.
Yep. Thank you for indulging my nonsense. Bye.
My tweet is from Tessa Bahush on Twitter. She tweeted some screen caps from an article. The article is called, it's on Refinery29. The article is called A Week in New York City on $25 an Hour.
F you.
And
sorry.
It's wow. The so subhead is Welcome to Money Diaries, where we're tackling what might be the last taboo facing modern working. And then there's like the person's bona fides where they're explaining like how, you know, scrappy they are. And one of the categories is additional income. And the writer says, on top of my intern salary, my parents give me $800 a month allowance. And my grandma also wires me $300 every month. Hashtag blessed. Monthly expenses, rent. I live in a one-bedroom, one-den apartment. The total rent is $4,000. My share is $2,100. My parents pay, in parentheses, and my roommates. Next up, student loan payment, $0. I'm still in school, and my parents pay for my education. Health insurance, $0. I'm on my parents' plan. Phone bill, $0. I'm on my parents' plan. Netflix, Spotify, Amazon, $0. I use my parents' account. And her tweet is just, you should not be writing about money.
Oh, la, 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 la.
I have words for her, but I'm going to be nice.
Guys, see, this is what we're talking about. All the wealth is going up top. And where are we at?
You guys can follow me on Jack_O'Brien on Twitter. You can follow us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the information that we talked about on today's episode, as well as the song that we ride out on in my Miles, today's is real good. What's it going to be?
I just was thinking about the band Toon Yards, which is Meryl Garbus' project with like her bassist. If you haven't heard her music, it's great. She usually like uses like looping pedals and just plays ukulele and like just sort of playing like synth drums. It's really dope. Her live shows are really great too. She has a song called My Country that has a lot of lyrics that are very relevant today and just sort of how I personally feel about this country. But there's one line in particular that I like that I just want to dedicate to Donald Trump, where there's a sort of a bridge line that she says where the worst thing about living a lie is just wondering when they'll find out. So, you know, take that inside. And, you know, one day we will find out and we'll have to do something.
Unless you have a brain that is incapable of feeling shame.
Yes.
All good. All right, we're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. We'll talk to you guys then. Bye.
just wondering when they'll find out. Wondering when they'll find out.